They're making a name for themselves in the biz with glowing accolades from big name radio players and national magazines. They've had great success with recent releases hitting editorial playlists and charting on AMRAP. Aside from these already immense successes, they're supporting Pink and Tones and I at Optus Stadium and headlining their own shows in Melbourne, Sydney, Perth, and Fremantle. They're dropping their shiny new track, Born in the Wrong Time, on Feb 29th, and boy, is it a banger. Here to chat everything new singles, their Good Times tour, and upcoming Pink support, please welcome Grace from Joan and the Giants.
Thank you for having me. What an intro. So much pressure. Oh my God.
No pressure. No
No
pressure at
pressure.
all.
No
We're just
doubt.
excited to have you.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you for having me. I love having a chat. And you know, this is so exciting. So I really appreciate it. Thank you guys. Thank you so
Oh,
much.
what a great day it is. And it's gotten even better to be able to chat with you, Grace. Tell us
Oh,
about
it's such a good
Joan
day. We're
and the
alive. We're here. Joan and the Giants. That is my little baby. It's my child. Yeah, we've been doing it for like years now. Since 2019, where we actually formed Joan and the Giants, and then even before then, Aaron, the guitarist, and I have been like, playing as a duo for years before that as well. So the grind has been very real. And it's really exciting. I feel like we've just been doing this for so long that it's so nice to see some things happening for the band, like just after so many, like hundreds of shows and just grinding in this music industry, which is pretty hectic industry to be in. So it's just really nice. It's been a really good year so far.
Yeah, I mean, you
Yeah.
guys just don't stop. And as you said, you have been on the grind, and we love to see it. And we love you guys here at the Hoist.
Oh, thank you. We love the hoist. We love seeing your tag. Whenever you tag us, I'm like, yay, thank you so much. I love it. I love the stories. I love the like everything you do, the graphics. Like you're so good at what you guys do. It's epic. Oh, stop it. Stop it. It's no, genuinely, it's been like such a big year for you guys already, and it's just started. Yeah, it's really crazy.
Literally.
I feel like I'm a bit nervous. I was just saying to Aaron, the guitarist and the boys last night, like, I don't know what to do after this stadium show because it's kind of been like everything that's gone badly this year or any like terrible days at work. I'm in the back of my mind, I'm like, it's fine. Like we've got this show coming up. But then afterwards, I don't know what I'm gonna say. I'm just gonna be like, well, I'm in a pit of despair, but well, I just have to think, I have to get something new going after this tour in March, just to have something to look forward to, because it is so nice to have like a something exciting in the works. So yeah, I've
Course.
just got to keep grind going after as well. Otherwise, I'll have an existential crisis and a breakdown.
That's daily for Louis and I, the amount of calls that Louis and I have back and forth about how we're constantly going through a mental breakdown. We feel you.
Honestly, I mean, even with the Pink shows and this tour coming up, like there are many mental breakdowns that are happening because it's just like we've obviously never played a stadium show.
Snap.
We're like a small local indie Perth Australian band, and like this is so huge, it's hard to even fathom. Like I don't think I'm even gonna realize it's happening until I'm like about to walk on stage. And I'm like,
Course.
so yeah, it's pretty hectic.
We're so proud. We're genuinely so proud. I mean, I've been watching you.
Thank
Yeah,
you.
of course. Oh, I've been watching you guys for like the past like 2 years, I think. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is just such a huge opportunity for you guys and so deserving too. So you guys should just take it in your
Oh,
stride.
thank you.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys really grind. And as you said, you and Aaron have been playing together for years. And to see your hard work finally pay off is just, it's beautiful. It's what we
Oh,
want.
thank you so much. It's so nice. Like I feel like this has been the sweetest part of like announcing the shows because people have, especially in Western Australia, like they've seen us, I mean, even as a duo since like 2015.
Yeah.
Like really, like they've seen us be playing WA for the last like 9 years, 8, 9 years. And so all the comments are like, I saw you at this random pub in like Karratha somewhere or like up in the Kimberley or like down south. And they're like, and they're just so nice. The comments are so lovely. And I think people have seen us play some really terrible shows and like, just in the middle of nowhere with like three people in the audience and like even like our family and stuff coming to our first like countless shows with literally like five people there, mostly just my family members and Aaron's family members. So it is really nice, like, just to see the response. And it's really exciting that we're finally getting over East a lot more as well. And because I just can't wait to be playing more of Australia. It's really exciting.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. I think like touring Australia as well, that's huge. Like just doing
Yeah.
Australian, it's so cool.
Oh God. It's just one of those things that hopefully eventually become a bit easier financially, because I guess like the strain of
Yeah.
being like an independent, self-funded artist is, it's pretty huge. Like
It
that's
is.
why it's pretty sad to see, even on like a larger scale with like GTM closing the tickets and like
I know.
people not paying tickets,
Oh.
even like huge scale with like much bigger artists. It's quite depressing because even like with the smaller shows that you do around the country, like
Yeah.
yeah, if people don't come to shows, I guess eventually we just all can't really do it or sustain it. So it's a weird time in the industry as well. Quite tricky.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but at the same time, like I think we'd still do it even if we sold no tickets. We'd find a way to just still do it because we just
Good.
love it.
That really speaks to your passion
Yeah.
and your adoration for your craft. And honestly, snaps to you.
Big snaps.
Oh, thanks. Snaps. Oh, Legally Blonde moment. I love it.
Yeah.
Snaps. So
Well, we're kind of all blonde here.
yes, this is true. I
No.
love the snaps. I haven't done snaps in so long. Why did I stop doing that?
So,
Anyway.
obviously, really big supporting Pink headline tour, but we're not just here to talk about the tour. We're also here to talk about your track, Born in the Wrong Time. It's been described as romanticizing a bygone era of simpler times. Were there any particular moments that inspired this track? And tell us a little bit more about its fruition.
It's really interesting with this song because I was really stressed. We didn't, we booked studio time and we had no songs to record because this was just after like we released Good Time
Yeah.
or before this Good Time, and I was like, I have nothing left in me right now at this point in time. And so we got into the studio and we were just like, all right, let's write a song. And then I started talking a bit about my life and how I've just sort of just never really felt like I've fitted in any of like the years that I've sort of been alive. Like I've always just been such like an outsider and such a weird person. Like I grew up on an organic and biodynamic farm, and it was like in a town where all the farms around us were like real heavy chemical farmers, and the kids at school quite different to me and my family. We were sort of a strange family, very hippie-ish, very spiritual parents. And so everyone just thought I was such a strange person growing up. And then I went to boarding school, and even at boarding school, like I feel like I'm just an old soul in like this young 12-year-old body. Like all my friends were like drinking juice boxes and talking to each other on like the introduction day or whatever, and I was like drinking tea with the parents. And it's like, and they thought I was so weird. I was in my pink poncho with like an old woman beanie, like an old granny beanie. And I was like, slay. But everyone thought I was so weird. And even throughout high school, like I was just always pretty strange. And then after high school, like I really even struggled to fit in the music industry and kind of find my people. And it took me a few years of like feeling quite isolated in the music industry in Perth. And then, you know, finally I met some amazing people that felt similar to me, and I've got such a great group now, and I've got a wonderful band, and I'm really happy now. But like, yeah, throughout my whole life I've just always felt like nothing's fully fit or made sense. And then I've just always sort of been very inspired and connected to like the music of like Joni Mitchell and Janis Joplin and like the Woodstock era. And yeah, like and people like Bob Dylan and you know, even like Stevie Nicks and the Fleetwood Mac era, and like I'm very in love with that era of music. Like I grew up with like James Taylor and, you know, that kind of, yeah, just more folky storytelling hippie artists. Yeah, and I feel like in a way I probably should have been born in that time, like the Woodstock era. So it's kind of about like just feeling quite disconnected from the modern world, and even my phone, like I got this lyric in the song, which I love, which is like in the second verse. It's like I can't exist when I'm staring at a screen trying to reminisce on the moments I was never fully in, dreaming of a time where I could throw my phone aside, listen to Joanie getting high. And I feel like there's just something about like this that I feel like in all of us, we're all just so addicted to like social media and like the whole comparison thing and just the scrolling of just like meaningless scrolling. Yeah, and I feel like sometimes I'm just not in the present at all. So it sort of all encapsulates everything I just said. That
Yes.
was a long explanation. I'm so sorry. But
Wait,
yes.
we love it.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's sort of what it's about, really.
It's beautiful. It pays homage to, I think, the way I definitely feel too growing up. And I know Louis, you know, in discussions that Louis and I have had, we definitely are a little bit like estranged for like the norm. I'm definitely more of, I don't know, a more spiritual person. I always get described as a hippie and things, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think, you know, this song speaks to a lot of people and definitely speaks to me. So I thank you for writing such beautiful lyrics too, because I grew up listening to Joanie and grew up listening to Bob and James Taylor and like Stevie, and just yeah, it perfectly encapsulates, I think, a feeling that I've felt, and I'm guessing a lot of people. So it's a beautiful
Oh,
song.
I got goosebumps even hearing that because, you know, as an artist, you put something out there that's quite like obviously just from like the words are just so personal, and often I write the lyrics. Sometimes Aaron will write a couple, but like often like I'll write most of the song or all of the song, and it's like just sharing your sort of deeper thoughts or diary entries or like things that are quite personal. So when like people actually do connect to it, it's like the most fulfilling connected feeling. So yeah, I'm so glad. I hope people like it. It's quite different for us. It's very old school rock and roll. So yeah, we'll see. We'll
It's a
see how it
good
goes.
for sure. And what an amazing time it is to be playing alongside the biggest names. I mean, Pink, I don't think you can get bigger. Like, as a pop artist,
I
I don't
know.
think you can top Pink. How did this come about? We want to know, like, how did this even happen? It's
How did this
incredible.
even happen? Honestly, how did this,
That's what we
how did
want
this,
to know.
that's a really good question. It's one of those things which is so wild because we're the only opening act they have in the whole country, that's like opening before Tones and I. So Tones and I, like at first, our manager pitched us to Pink's management team, and they were like, you know, she was like, we would love Joan the Giants open if there's any possibility, and they came back being like, well, we already have Tones and I. So there's not much point, but thank you so much. And then this is like how great our manager is because I just would like the awkward people pleaser slash like because we were self-managed for years. We just got a manager a few months ago, and she's amazing. Like she just kept following up with this team, sending every single thing we were doing, the articles, the, like going to Big Sound, the Big Sound features, the new songs we were releasing, and eventually they were just like, maybe we'll just open a slot.
Wow.
And they did. They were like, you know what? They got back to her, and it took like this was months in the making. And then eventually, like she FaceTimed me and was like, so crazy news, you're opening for Pig. And I just like lost the plot. Like I was screaming. I fell off this chair. I was like right here.
Yeah, right
I was right here. I'm never leaving this chair just since that moment. Like it's
here.
like so overwhelming. Yeah, it was so incredible, even just like because I have loved Pink for so many years, I can't even explain.
Me too.
I used to get all the So Fresh CDs, and I don't know if you guys did as well. So
Yes.
grew up on those CDs because obviously we didn't have like really like access to downloading stuff on the internet. Really, I didn't know how to do that on the farm. Like as a kid, you had to like up to the internet where I was like, yeah, like you know, the
Yeah, the little noises. I know the noises. I know what
Yeah,
you, yeah.
like the hookup headset thing. And so the only way to get music was to buy CDs at the time. And I would have my little Walkman and like run around on the farm, like singing Pink songs. Like, what is it, Mr. President? And like, what was the first one? Like, some of her earlier stuff, Stupid Girls, like heaps of those kind of very earlier songs. And I just loved her so much then. And I would like run around the farm, like acting like I was like Pink. But never even, I didn't even have this in a way, like it's a dream that every artist has, but it's not something that you ever think is going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even beyond a dream, it's just, yeah, it's so, it's
Beyond
wild.
imagination kind of thing. It's like that is a funny kind of thing that I can think about happening, but it will never eventuate. But hey, what have you done? You've done it.
It could. You never know what's going to happen. Like, it's the craziest thing. We never imagined opening for an artist like Pink. Like, I guess our biggest dream before Pink was to open for like an Australian band that's coming to Perth playing like the Aster, you know? That was a huge dream for us. And then to eventually do like a national tour support was like, you know, like our pretty much top of the charts dream. Like, we did not know that we would be supporting like one of the biggest superstars in the world. So it's pretty amazing. I'm really like overly just blown away still. Yeah.
I've got to know, are you gonna do like acrobatics as well? Like, is that on the cards for joining the Giants?
Yes. I'm like, you know what? Can I just borrow the harness for our set and just fly me around? It would go so badly though, because I am so not coordinated. Like, I can't wait to see her set because I don't know how she like flips and like does all these crazy things and sings. Like, the woman is incredible. I can't wait to see what she does. And I'm maybe for night two, I'll be like, so tonight's my night and I'll be wearing that. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Yeah,
Yeah,
I just can't wait. It's gonna be cool
it
doing
will
it. I
be.
just, we should get
Yeah.
a drummer in the harness and like put up all the drum kit, and so he just has to like I don't know how that
I feel
works.
like it goes so badly.
So badly. Don't. We're never doing it. No. No. But also, I just went on the weekend to Sydney and saw Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour, which is so amazing. And I feel like it was so crazy being there and like witnessing just like the passion. Like, people literally like worship her as like a god, which is fair enough because she's incredible. like, what do I call it? Swift mania. Like, it's true. But it was so inspiring to see like this show before like going, because I guess the last stadium show I saw was years ago. I went to the 1989 tour in Sydney, but I feel like I haven't gone to a stadium. Where was the last stadium show I went to? Oh my gosh, my brain.
I
Yeah, it's
honestly
crazy. Yeah, guys, why can't you tell me the last day? But it was wild. It was so inspiring to see, like, just, oh, Coldplay. I also went to Coldplay, and that was wild. Like, just like when you go to these moments in time, like, the people just love these artists so much. And it's such an inspiring thing to witness. Like, it's just incredible. So I just can't wait to be even a very small opening part of that, like with just, I don't know, even know how many people will be there for us, but hopefully like some people come down early and we can just experience like a little glimpse of what that life is like. It's pretty crazy.
Absolutely. And you've got the Good Times tour coming up as well. Where can people catch you with that? And how are you feeling about that?
Oh, so excited. I am really keen to go over East. I just love it so much. We are going to the Workers Club in Melbourne. We're going to the Oxford Art Factory in Sydney. This is on the 15th and 16th of March. And then we're heading back over for Hyperfest in WA and then doing a headline show at Mojo's on the 30th of March. I'm so amazed I remembered that. That is
Very well. I'm
just
very
amazing. Thank you. But yeah, I'm really excited. I also really love the headline shows because with Pink, like, our set is so like go, go, go. You know, we're gonna fit as many songs as we can into it. It's all quite structured, and very intense. And like, you only have this amount of time and you just have to, like, you know, just smash it out. But, you know, with the headline shows, you can really just take your time and be silly and connect with everyone and show your personality a bit more, which will be really fun.
Absolutely. I think like with, the difference between stadium and, smaller, not to say that, your smaller gigs aren't stadium worthy. I'm not saying that at all. Like, you get to see so much more representation of who an artist truly is on a smaller, intimate level rather than seeing them on a big like stadium show. As you said, it's really structured. you've got what, a 30, 45 minute set probably with Pink.
A 30-minute set, I think, 25 or 30. Yeah.
So it's not much time at all, and you don't get to give everyone who Joan the Giants is. I mean, you'll try your hardest, but it's just like to see the full potential of what you guys are and what you guys do. Those headline shows are kind of what make it, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what happened the other day. Do you guys know the artist Ray? This was the most mind-blowing thing of my life. So Ray played Laneway and it's like doing these crazy sold-out shows around the world. And then she posted on her Instagram saying, I've got like 97 tickets to this show, the Ellington Jazz Club tonight. Like, get in quick, sold out so fast. And I was like, oh God, I've missed out. My friend got one, so I went with her. And we got to sit like right in front of her. It felt like being in her living room. And it was the most like, magical, like connected, like rich experience of music I've ever had in my life. Like just seeing her just be able to sit down, drink wine, chill out, like laugh with the audience, tell us a lot of personal stuff. Like it was just like hanging out with her, just all like 97 of us squished into this tiny room. And it was so beautiful. And I love shows like that. I think they're my absolute favorites, you know? So rich, so beautiful. But I've also never played a stadium show, so who knows how this might be my new favorite. I don't know. I don't know.
You're definitely gonna kill it, and you guys are killing it, 100%. And look, we're big fans of you at the Hoist. We also want to know who you're digging at the moment. What local artist should we be watching?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
The list, and here we go.
I 100%. I really from locally from where I am in Boorloo, Perth, and yeah, Wellyup and Freo. I love this band called King Ibis. They actually got the opening slot for Coldplay, which is pretty amazing. They like won that competition, which was incredible. And they are so good. They're coming over east as well, so check out King Ibis. I love Siobhan Cotchin. She's on tour right now with the Goo Goo Dolls. She's brilliant. And she's a good
She's
friend.
amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing. All these artists are friends of ours. And I feel so lucky to have such inspiring artists around. I love the artist Ribs. She's just like the most incredible songwriter and storyteller. And her songs are like just make me sob. If you feel like sobbing, then listen to Ribs. Getting some emotion out. Also, our supports on the tour are amazing. Like we have King Ivers, we've got Ulla. She's so cool. She's doing really, really well over here. We've got Ramona Skye, Sophia.
I love them.
So cool. Got some really cool artists coming up. Sophia Petro, we've got Abby Lane and Yaki, which used to be Sarah Yaki, and she's so cool. So the lineups are going to be incredible all across the country. So come and watch these incredible artists. I'm so excited.
I love going to see my favorite artists, but I also love going for the supports.
Me
Because you
too.
discover so much good music and so many good bands slash artists slash creatives that have their own story to tell, and it's beautiful.
It's so beautiful. I think like I found, like that's how I found Ange McMahon. I saw her support Angus and Julia Stone, and I just fell
Me
mad with
too.
it. Oh, so
Me
good.
too. Back in like when even was it? I think it was 2018. I saw Angus and Julia Stone in Melbourne because we're Melbourne based at a place called Festival Hall, and Angie McMahon had just released like Salt, I think, back then. And then I was just like, who is this? And fell in love with Angie. And then like Angie kind of went quiet for a bit over COVID, as did everyone, I guess. And then just like her coming out with Light, Dark, Light again. I mean, wow.
She's amazing. She's like one of the most beautiful songwriters I've come across. And I listened to Soon and like that album, her debut album. It's called Salt, isn't it? The album, is it? Yeah. But I listened to the song Soon, like literally like 500 plus times. And obviously like Slow Mover and so many songs on that album I just connect so deeply to. And she like I never miss a support unless I have work and I can't get off because like I found all my favorite bands through the support acts of like the shows I've gone to. So yeah, come and support the supports. They're the like there's so much treasure out there. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Look, we've had such an amazing time with you today, Grace, and it's just like, I don't know, I'm gonna get emotional like thinking about it, but it's genuinely been probably the nicest interview I think I've ever done, and I think Louis would probably.
Oh, thank you so much. You're so sweet.
Sorry.
Oh,
It's
thank
just like it's so nice to connect with an artist on a real level. And obviously you guys are out there and killing it, but then you have these moments and it's just like, wow, I actually got to speak with a human that shares similar experiences to me. And it's just really nice to have that authentic experience. So thank you so much for being vulnerable and for sharing, your story with us. It's been amazing. Thank you.